Galatians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there is be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do now I persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the brethren, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But others of the apostles saw I none save James and the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came unto the region of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preached the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me. Okay. So, Paul, I like Paul. Paul's cool. Paul writing to the early church. Okay, a little background context about Galatians. Paul, when he was writing to the church of Galatians, he was writing to a group of people that had started out really well. You know, they'd started out understanding the gospel. They started out walking with Christ for themselves. And then, along the way, some people showed up and said, basically, oh, you need Jesus, plus you need circumcision. So basically, like, you need now that you have Jesus, that's good, and so now you need this next thing for you to get right with God. And and basically what they were doing was they were bringing people back under the law, which was, you know, the law, the whole thing about circumcision and how that all happened. And so Paul, when he was writing to this group of people, he was now having to confront and deal with people that were being enslaved once again to the law, very craftily, you know, very seductively, very religiously, very convincingly, but still being brought back into a prison and a slave system that they had once been set free from. And so Paul, when he's writing to these guys, one of the things that he's starting out with is like, look, it's like, I'm amazed that, you know, you understood it, you were walking in it, and now you're being pulled back into it. And then when he starts to then have a little bit of a discourse for himself, he starts to talk about here for himself his own journey as well and what God had done with him. And basically, if there's one person that knew the law, that walked in the law, that understood the implications of the law and how they would apply to practical Christian life, it was Paul. And he's like, look, you're getting bound up into something that you shouldn't be part of. So now when Paul is writing and when Paul is giving his admonition to them, he's also telling them, look, about his own thing. And a big part of his own experience was he had a revelation from God for himself, and he also was called by God for himself. It was real to him, and that his gospel and the gospel that he preached wasn't even dependent on the validation of other people, but it was because, one, God called him to do it, God gave him the message, and when he met other people, they would confirm, the true followers of Christ would confirm that message in him, but he knew it for himself, basically. And so, you know, one of the things that we struggle with, okay, everyone is born into a prison planet. I mean, that's basically what this world is here. So when we're born here, when we're born into life here in this world, you're born into a prison. And from day one, everything that begins to happen to you here in the world, in the world system, is designed to enslave you. So things that happen with schools, things that happens with finances, things that happen with relationships, things that happen with work, things that, you know, you just start seeing each and everything that is designed in this world to enslave and to keep and to harvest your soul from cradle to grave. So, so for example, you know, you, like my little brother went off to school recently to college. And one thing I had to tell him before he went there, I said, look, don't take a credit card, because the first day that you get on campus, there'll be all these people that are standing there giving you, offering you bags of chocolate if you sign up for one of these cards. The reason that they do this is they offer all these people, you know, $600 limit credit cards, because they want you to go have a couple nights out and max the thing out and then get on a payment plan where you're paying, you know, 18% interest, and you're paying back, you know, $20, $30, $40 for the rest of your life. So basically, it's designed to set you up to enslave you. So the world seeks to, but see, all of those things. All right, if you use a credit card, you pay it off at the end of the month. Never carry a balance, if at all possible. And if you don't have the cash, don't use it. It's not. It's a convenience. It's not a. Interest is expensive. Okay. The world system, though, is designed to enslave. So what happens with Christ, and when Christ came, and when we've talked about John 10, where he said, look, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. When he came and he offers life to his people, he also offers to them a way out of the slavery of this world. Now, the first thing that happens is that Christ pays for the sin of the world. He pays for all of our sin. He takes upon himself our sin and the consequences of our sin in this realm of spirit. And it's done with. It's dealt with there. But now we have... Now, because that's been taken care of, the connection can be reestablished between us and the Father. But now we have to walk this thing out. So that's a day in and day out process. And so so when Paul was writing this thing to these guys, he's like, look, okay, verse 15, where he says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither when I..." So, okay, interesting. That Paul is called to the gospel. Now, God set him aside from the start. So God's always known those that are his. So that's why, too, like, you know, sometimes, for me even, like, I'll meet somebody somewhere, and it's like, whatever they're in, you just get that sense in your heart that this is one of God's kids, this is one of God's children. And because you have that witness in your spirit that this is brethren, this is a sister, this is someone who's part of the kingdom. And so Paul was always set aside for God. So he was always godly, he just wasn't always righteous. You know, he was always somebody that, you know, was trying to do things God's way, but he was sincerely wrong and doing a lot of damage. But when God finally woke him up, and that's what happens with all of us, at some point God will wake us up for those that are his, and we come to ourselves. We're like, whoa, okay, where am I? You know, what just happened? Where, you know, what was I doing before? Where am I now? What's going on here? And you realize you have this revelation of who God is, and who Jesus is, ultimately, because Jesus is truth. And so Christ is that revelation of who he is, that he is that way, that truth, and that life. And so then when that revelation happens, now, see what happens, though, and this is one thing that Paul discussed too. He says, when his to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years went I up to Jerusalem. Okay, important point. When God gave him a revelation of who he was, who God was to Paul, and who Paul was in relationship to God, he didn't run to get someone else to tell him what that meant. He didn't go and now have to have pastor's approval or the elders to lay hands on him and clarify the vision. Or, you see what I mean? He didn't do that. What he did, and he said, I didn't confer with flesh and blood. I didn't just go run and find who else could tell me what just happened to me just now. And I didn't, he didn't go up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was like the Mecca of you know, the early church. This was the place where the, you know, the apostles were at and all of that. It's like, I didn't quickly run to Jerusalem to get the validation of those that had that responsibility at that time. But he went to the backside of the desert for 3 years. It says for 3 years. And after 3 years, then he went up to Jerusalem. So the first thing that he did was he allowed God to solidify in him and to teach him and to show him and to reveal to him and to speak to him and to let him know who he was. Let this thing be clarified for him of what his life was. So that now, so for him, Paul knew it for himself. So then when he went up to Jerusalem now, when he went up to these guys in Jerusalem and he discussed with them, he says, then he went to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But the other apostles saw none save James and the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came unto the region of Syria and Cilicia. Okay, so basically when he went up to meet these, you know, quote unquote pillars of the church, he already knew. And so when he went there, it was a validation of what God had put in his heart. And even later on, he said, look, they didn't add anything to my ministry. He, when it's speaking in another place in the Bible, he talks about, you know, when people are questioning his apostleship, questioning his role in the early church, he's like, look, these guys didn't add anything to my ministry. This is something that God gave and put in me. And so I'm just discharging the duty that he's given to me. So when Paul is writing to these guys, he's like, look, the reason that you share that and the reason that he shares that is for their own sake as well, for all of us. when God opens your eyes and opens your heart to Him, first thing is don't go running to find someone else to tell you now what God did, or how to believe, or what to do. But quiet yourself before God, still yourself before the voice of the Spirit of God, and let Him reveal to you who you are, what His call is, what His plan and purpose is for you. He showed you a couple things, let Him explain that to you more. But let that be solidified with Him, so that rather than, because otherwise what happens is, is that because man is man, flesh is flesh, it will, even the best intentioned people will never give you as good advice as God will. Even the best intentioned people will never see the full picture for your life. And so if you ask somebody, the best they can do is an opinion that they think based on hopefully their connection with what God is saying, but also based on their experience, their knowledge, their understanding. And it's limited, because only God sees all. So they can give you something maybe that from Him that maybe helps validate something that God spoke to you, but otherwise you need to hear it from God for yourself. So too many people I know are dependent on someone else telling them they're okay. Someone else saying, you know, you're right with God. Someone else telling you that this is the way to go. And ultimately, if they don't have those people there, they don't have a relationship with God. Because the relationship with God is dependent on those people. Does that make sense? So, I mean, how often do you see that? And now, this is one of the things that the early church and even the Galatians were struggling with, is that they were being enslaved to that. So they started out well. Now, when somebody shows up that has the approval of man, has the approval of the world and the world system, and looks the part, sounds the part, has the outward appearance, all of that, and they talk the right words, then over a little period of time, what happens is they gradually steer you off into a path that you shouldn't be going down. So, most organized religions, that's what they do. And ultimately what their goal is to get you dependent on a person rather than on God. To get you looking to a person rather than to the Father for yourself. Because for them, their thought in their head is, heaven forbid that God would actually speak to you and you don't need me. But the truth is that God speaks directly to those that are His. The head in your body speaks directly to every single cell in your body. Every organ gets its instructions from the head. And my liver is not dependent on my elbow to do what God's told it to do. Now, they are interconnected in that if I bang my elbow, you know, it's going to have some effect on the rest of my body. You know, maybe it'll, you know, it's not going to shut down my liver function, but my liver is going to know that there's something going on in the body, because some resource might go to help fix it, or maybe some toxin that now has to clean up. But the body and everything in the body receives its instruction, direction, function from the head, and likewise the same with us. So okay. Now, the world and the world system and the prison system of the world, what it does is it's designed to hold and harvest the soul. So last week we talked a little bit about consciousness. it's designed to hold and harvest the soul. So it's accomplished through controlling your mind and your consciousness, and working toward the submission of your free will to the world system. Okay? Should I repeat that? Yeah? Okay, I'll repeat it again. All right. So the world system is designed to hold and harvest the soul. It's accomplished through controlling your mind, consciousness, and working toward the submission of your free will to the world system. Okay. So go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Okay. Luke chapter 4 and verse 5 says, "And the devil taking him up unto unto a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Okay. So, now there's always a battle going on for your mind. There's always a battle going on for your thoughts. There's always a battle going on for your free will. And so even with this situation, okay, first of all, back in Psalms, it says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So basically the whole thing belongs to God. So even here when Lucifer is making this presentation to God, he's making a presentation to God based on something that already belongs to God. So God designed and made the whole world. He created Lucifer, and now here's Lucifer standing before him, having worked up this world system which he's been allowed to build and allowed to function. And Lucifer saying to God, okay, you know, I'll give it all to you. Now, yeah, he does have this, he does have a certain ability at this time because he's been allowed to have that for this period of time. But ultimately, it's God's bat, God's ball, God's field. I mean, the whole thing is his, so God allows this whole thing. But what he's offering him basically is something that God already owns the whole thing. So it's kind of, it's a bit, you know, I mean, I mean, obviously Jesus is being tested here, you know, and he's being tempted. but think about it too, the control and the thing against the mind. Now here with Jesus, see, if Jesus believes what he's being told, then, and he responded to that, or if Jesus didn't respond out of the word and out of truth, if he responded like a man, and most men do, what then would have happened? Because the truth of it is, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So the whole thing belongs to God. Actually, I wonder if I can find that really quick. In Psalms. Psalms 24 is, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." So that's Psalms 24:1. So the whole thing belongs to God, right? So now that's the truth. So when Lucifer shows up, you know, and now here's the thing, he has been given for a period of time, but he doesn't own it. But he's been allowed, he's leasing, you know, or I mean, so it's kind of like, okay, like recently just let out that apartment. Now if that guy shows up and somebody else shows up tomorrow and then he says, oh yeah, I'll rent you this place. But he doesn't own it. He's not the owner. He's just there for a period of time. But he doesn't own that place, the guy that's leasing that apartment. He's there in a period of time, allowed to be there, but his lease will be up at some point. And when his lease is up, the owner's coming back to get the place. Likewise, same thing. So the devil is got a short-term allowance that's he's gotten based on the fall and what happened in the fall, through even the twisting and the twisting of the soul of Adam and man, to create this illusionary world, to create this illusionary world system. I mean, think about it. What's money? I mean, why is a dollar worth a dollar? Why is a pound worth a pound? Why is $1 million worth $1 million? Why is... it's just paper. I mean, it's just paper. And where does the paper come from? It comes from a tree. You know, why is that worth anything? The reason it's worth anything is because people have been brainwashed into believing that it has value. And because they put faith in the value of that, they themselves create the value by the belief in the illusion. And by the belief in the illusion, then they now are enslaved to the illusion. And so what ends up happening is they end up giving up what's really important and what's really invaluable for that which is meaningless and that which is worthless. So if you, for example, say you, okay, current affairs right now, say you gave up the last 40 years of your life to slave in the corporate world in America, and you put all of your money into 401ks, retirement plans, and now AIG and Lehman Brothers were two of your big portfolio. Now what? Where did all of your hard work go? It just got disappeared. It just got taken away. Was it there to begin with? Or what did people end up doing? People ended up working and slaving in the world in exchange for security, in exchange for provision, and they ended up building the world system. And the byproduct of their building the world system was that they were supposed to get a reward at the end of it, that reward now is being taken away on a grand scale. So it's a scary thing for people when they realize that everything that they've put their life into has been a lie, it's been an illusion, it's been smoke and mirrors. So, because the whole thing, it is an illusion. This whole world and world system is an illusionary reality that it requires that the masses agree with the illusion. It requires that the masses buy into the illusion in order for it to work. Okay, if tomorrow, if everybody in the world said, the euro is not worth anything to me, I don't want a euro, I don't agree with the euro, what's the euro worth now? It's not worth anything, because nobody believes it anymore. So in order for it to be worth something, you have to believe that it has value. So there's a battle on for your consciousness, there's a battle on for your mind. And that's why too, when somebody wakes up, when you wake up in the kingdom of God, then you start realizing, wait a second, this is what really has value, and this has no value at all. If you can start to realize too what the difference between your needs and your wants, you can start to realize, wait a second, there's really a whole lot less that you need compared to what most people have been trained to want. See, for example, okay, back to the battle for your consciousness. If you can be conditioned to want certain things that you don't need, but now you believe that a want is an actual need, so you need a Prada bag. You really need a Prada bag. You know, or you, it's, what is it? How much is one of those? Like $5,000? Something like that. 500, okay. Yeah. Okay. So say 500. It's just a bag. Maybe a nicely designed bag, maybe artistic. But how much of has gone into something like that, that in the end, now people, how much of their work, their life, their labor, will they put into getting that? And then for what? Because all of these things fade away. So, rather, when somebody comes to Christ, all of a sudden now, truly, the things of the world grow strangely dim. And now it's like you start to realize, wait a second, you know what has value? Your time has value, because you have a limited amount of it in the earth. And so while you're here, every moment can be spent in connection, in praise and worship unto God. You can have that. You can have and live in a state of continuous connection with the Father. That's a great thing. That has value. Relationships while you're here, that has value. That really is, which is more important, to have, you know, $5,000 or to have a good friend? You're like, I don't know. Well, long term, in the long run, to have a really good friend is a real blessing. It is. No, I mean, here's another thing too. How many people then are put in desperate situations where things like that now are tested? Things like that now are, so even now, right now, around the world, how many people are in dire situations where just for survival, you know, they're hurting the people that love them. So that's why too, it's like it's so important that people are in connection with the Spirit of God, because when you're in connection with the Spirit of God, He can show you how to respond. He can show you how to deal with the situations of life. But there is that battle on for your mind. So Jesus, you can see the world system in the interaction with Jesus and Lucifer. The way the world system works is ultimately bow to this illusion, and in exchange for your participation with the mass of humanity that's bought into it, you now get provision from the system, and so that's you in exchange for your willful slavery to it, you now get to be something in it. So there's, and kind of something I've seen is, like, on the lower levels, it's bow to self, because that's good enough. If you serve yourself, you are serving the world and the world system. So if your life is about me, myself, and I, you are bowing to the world. On the higher levels of the world system, it is actually bowing to Lucifer, actually bowing to that which is satanic, actually willfully rejecting, knowing that God is there, and willfully rejecting that. So the people that are promoted in the world and the world system at the highest levels are those that have willfully bowed themselves to demonic forces in exchange for power, provision, and to be something in this world. And those that are on the lower levels are those that have just basically gone after and chased after self. So, you know, Toyota, I love what you do for me. Burger King, have it your way. You see what I'm saying? Like, this, even these slogans, these advertisements. Yeah, L'Oreal, you're worth it. And so the whole thing is self, is promotion of self. That's the low level. That's the base level of it. And on the higher levels of the world global pyramid is actually bowing to that which is demonic and willfully rejecting God. So that on that level, on those levels, now they know. And knowing, they still, because what they want now is that on that level, they want power, they want possession, they want pleasure, they want something in this world. So they're given that in exchange for their soul and in exchange for now their allegiance to the world system. And what does the prison, what is required in that is, okay, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. John 10 again. So they have to, those which are really doing the, getting that mark are those that do the best job at stealing, killing, and destroying others in the world. So it's a very efficient system. Okay. And incidentally, the Satanic Bible, because the Satanists have their own as well, the mantra is, do what thou wilt. That's basically it. The whole thing in Satanism, or Satanic Bible, is, you know, do what thou wilt. So, you know, go your own way, call your own shots, be your own God. So, as people have gone astray, it encourages them to go that way. And it says, look, you know, if it feels good, do it. If it feels good, believe it. Rather, so that's what they encourage, and that's what they push. And that's what the world system pushes on you from day one, when you arrive on this planet. It's like, so, okay. So it's an incredibly sophisticated operation. So when we get here, see, that's the thing too. If it were not for the Spirit of God, no chance. Not a one of us would have a chance, snowball's chance in hell. We would not have the possibility of even getting out of this thing, understanding what's going on, anything, unless the Spirit of God showed us, opened our eyes to see. We couldn't do it otherwise. Because, okay, the system, though, that's there and that's perpetuated is an illusion of freedom. See, if you look at it, too, what the world sells people is also an illusion of freedom that's actually more and more bondage the more that people get into it. So, okay, so the four P's, possession, pleasure, power, position. So, for example, possession, wealth. Like, in the world system, people believe, the illusion is, if you just have enough, if you can have enough, if you can get enough, if you can get out there and really, you know, really get the big bucks, you know, then you'll be free. But how many people, if you know people that have wealth, how many people that have are now slaves to that wealth? And now that have, they lose, how many nights of sleep do they lose worrying about their wealth, worrying about what's happening to it, worrying about, I guarantee you, there's a lot of people in America with a lot of money that have lost a lot of sleep over what's been happening in the financial markets there. They have money, but they freaks them out because their minds are wrapped up in it. So the illusion of freedom in the possession of wealth is actually because the heart there is, they're never free, and the more they have, the more that it has a grip on them. They never get free. Whereas how many people do you know that, and I know that, scarcely have two pennies to scratch together and they're so free just because it doesn't have a hold on them. Now, not to say that you know, poverty is no mark of holiness and wealth is no mark of being depraved and sold out to the world system. But it's a condition ultimately of the heart. And if it doesn't have a hold on you, and if your heart is not in that, it can be a good tool that can be used for whatever, but it can't have a hold on you. And for the people of God, they're willing at any time to walk away from whatever as God calls them to. And there's definitely a time where even that will happen for God's people in the days ahead, where those that have will likely have to just give up whatever it is that they do have if they're going to still continue to walk with Christ. That's why, too, some people are like, you don't have, hey, don't worry about it. Because, you know, got nothing to lose now, too. But ultimately, God takes care of His people. And, yeah, so, but the world system seeks to enslave. So how many people in chasing after wealth, chasing after material possession, have in the end pierce themselves with many sorrows, as in the book of Timothy talks about, that they want wealth and they pierce themselves with many sorrows trying to get it. So basically, do whatever God shows you. Be content with whatever He gives to you. Know some principles about life in this world, wealth in this world. For example, the borrower is servant to the lender. So don't willfully, knowing that piece, don't willfully put yourself in a lending situation where you now are brought into servitude to other people or to institutions. As much as you can, stay out of that. You know, so just like there's wisdom in, I mean, God gave us the Bible for a reason. There's plenty in there that'll help keep you free. Okay. Illusion of freedom with the world. Pleasure. Okay. A lot of what happens with the world, and if you think about it in this way, how many of the pleasures that the world offers are actually only seek to enslave people to the world? So now you just, yeah, I mean, it's just, so, and what does the world tell you? It's like, okay, with the pleasures that the world offers, there is, with each thing that it offers, it's one more shackle on your leg to keep you locked into the cell, the prison cell of this world, so that you're just more and more bound to it. So, now Christ, in the realm of the Spirit, can break anyone free of that, that wants to be free. But people have to cry out to Him and come to Him so that He then can and does make them free. But otherwise, people choose to stay bound to that world system. So for example, alcoholism, you know, or it's an escape and people have a buzz and all that, but then, you know, give that 5 years, give that, I mean, we have friends that suffer. Yeah, there's a lot of consequences for that. Outside of marriage, sexual relationships, there's big consequences for that stuff. You know, and STDs aside, unwanted pregnancies aside, all of those things aside, there's a spiritual component, spiritual damage, all of those things that take place. And what does the world offer? The world says, oh yeah, go have a good time, have fun. But in the end, what happens? You know, it hurts people, it damages people, it breaks people. And then out of that, in the end, it's like there's, it's what people believed was freedom. What they thought was something was actually something that hurt them, that enslaved them. And this is why, too, God does heal and He sets free, but He's the only one that does that. And in order for people to live that out, they also have to now walk it out. And walking it out also means walking out, walking away, moving out. There's a lot of people that, like, there's stuff they need to leave. You know, I mean, it's like, okay, God's given you the power, now go. You know, now, you know, it's like, instead of people just saying, okay, you know, oh God, I wish I didn't have to. No, you don't have to. If you have Him, you have everything you need to make change. So that's there is no power outside of Him, but if you have Him, you have a power in you. Greater is He that lives in you than he that lives in the world. You have a power that's in you that's greater than anything in the world. So anything that you don't like, anything that is against the Word of God, you have the power put in you by the Spirit of God to leave that, to walk out of that, to be different, to make change. Okay, another one, another illusion in the world is power, is literally power. The world, the world seeks for power. The world looks for power. The world does everything it can for power. And but the power of the world, that's ultimately the stronger power of the world that people get, is given and granted by demonic forces, that which is in the second heavens, that which is part of the Luciferic kingdom. We battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places, Ephesians chapter 6. They grant human beings, human agents, spiritual power to lord over other people in exchange for their willful submission and slavery to them. So they will take a human agent, scalp his soul, indwell that physical being, and use that person, and spiritually use that person, and give that person a measure of power, and let that person use a measure of power, because it's not even the same person in the end anyways. That's just a shell being used, like a meat body being used. The real person's now gone. But that person gets power, but in actuality, he's more and more and more a slave the more power that he gets in the world, in the world system. And the thing too is that the power of God in a five-year-old child trumps the highest wizard, the highest witch that, you know, is walking on the face of the earth today. It's just a little child that has the Spirit of God in him. There's enough to knock down 50 of them without even thinking about it. But the world, again, because the battle is on for your consciousness, is so that you don't realize you have it. Because if you realize that you have that power, you might actually use it. So to keep you from understanding the power that you actually do have in Christ, and to make you think that you don't have that power. The children of God, ultimately, all authority, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Therefore go. So it's like, make disciples of all nations. So all authority and power has been given unto Christ Jesus. Who lives in me? Who lives in you? Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, if Christ in me, the hope of glory, and all authority on heaven and earth has been given unto him, if I'm in step with him, what do I have authority over in Christ Jesus? All of them, for one. But they're all slaves to the world. Okay. Another place where they believe they'll have freedom, and it's an illusion, is in their position in the world. So how many people do you see trying to climb the corporate structure, the world system, try to become the next thing? Who wants to be, so it's in the corporate world, okay, you want to be director, you want to be vice president, you want to be president, you want to be chairman. In the political world, you know, governor, senator, presidential candidate. But in all of these places, people are trying to get higher up in their position. Excuse me. But in actuality, the thing is unless your position is first grounded in Christ Jesus, unless your position is first where you're in connection with the Father, and then out of his will for you, he puts you in those places. Otherwise, if you don't have that, like a Joseph did or Daniel did for their positions and when they were in the world but not of the world, if you don't have that, then ultimately what happens is these are greater and greater slavery, and their lives truly are not their own. I mean, the higher that they get in the system, the more that they're working, the more that they're, and they're always sandwiched. There's always those that are below them that they're defecating on, and then there's those that are above them and that are defecating on them. So it's like they're just stuck in this thing, and so their goal is to get as high up as they can so they can crap on as many people as possible and have the fewest amount of people that are crapping on them. But at the top of the pyramid is Lucifer crapping on everyone. So it's like, so it's, you know, it's like, and then the closer they get to the devil's backside, the not a nice place to be. So God sets people free from those things. He sets them free from that. He sets them free from having to be a slave to that. You have a choice now. You can walk out. And he gives people the power, the strength, the spiritual ability to walk out. Okay, so all of these outside of the will of God, okay, let's hear. So possession, pleasure, power, position, those things outside of the will of God and the parameters that God sets for it only enhances your bondage in the world and in the world system. Because see, okay, for example, possession, pleasure, power, position. God does have a way for those things. He does have that. See, that's the other thing too, is like what happens is people have gone also the other route where it's like the whole Amish thing and okay, let's, you know, just hide in a cave somewhere. And it's, no, that's not it either. Like, so, if you have something, let it be what God has for you. And let Him also orchestrate how you deal with the resources in your life so you're a good steward over that which He puts in your care. If there's tremendous pleasures that God has for His people. You know, I was reading the Apocrypha not too long ago, and one of the things, one of these wisdom books is talking about, it said that, you know, don't deny yourself any innocent pleasure. Innocent. But it's like, but the point being, it was going through a lot of different stuff, but the point being that there's a lot of innocent pleasures that are in life that God has, and He's put there and things for us to enjoy. That it's fine, it's great, it's fantastic. You know, so, I mean, everything as subtle as, okay, you sit on the beach and you watch the sunset. That's a beautiful thing. you have some good friends in your life and you spend an evening talking together. It's wonderful, it's great. There's a lot of innocent things that God has also put there that you can enjoy. You know, those are all the G-rated stuff. There's PG stuff too. There's plenty of things that are there that God's way. I mean, and even the whole thing too about like marriage. It's like, you know, sex is fantastic. God invented it. He made it, but there's a parameter for how that stuff works. And I mean, my example for that whole thing is like in the States they have fireplaces. You know, you can start a fire anywhere in the house, but the place where it is meant for and proper for is the fireplace. You put the fire in the fireplace, it'll give warmth to the whole house, it'll be beautiful, and you can have it there for the next, you know, as long as you're living in that house. If it's outside that fireplace, then you're going to burn a hole in your rug, you're going to maybe burn down your whole house. And the same fire. It's the exact same fire. But where is it? You know? And, but see, even then, you know, that's like, okay, all right. But past that too, there's so many different things where it's like, allow for the Spirit of God to show you. When you know that something's not good for you, just say, all right, that's not it. And then make change. But don't allow the world to enslave you, and also don't justify your right to something. I mean, how often does that happen where what people do is they justify their right to a certain thing. They justify their right to have this, to do this. This is okay. Such and such does this. I'm not as bad as such and such. You see what I'm saying? But they somehow rationalize in their mind a certain behavior, a certain path, a certain way, and the ultimate consequence of it is it hurts your connection and your relationship with the one that loves you and the one that made you and ultimately what you're made for in the first place here. And so we make a willful choice to go away from that. So God doesn't want that for us, but we choose that. So when He reveals and when He shows, and a great prayer to pray, a great prayer that my dad taught me was, Lord, if I'm missing it, you know, please show me. You know, if I'm missing your way, if there's something that I'm not getting right now, if I'm on the wrong path, please show me. Open my eyes so that I can see it. And no thing, no person, no anything in this world should not hold on to anything so strong as you do your walk with the Father. That should be number one. And then out of that number one, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Out of that commitment, that heart, then let everything else flow into your life as God would have it. But otherwise, why would you want it there? Because all it'll do is, again, Christ said, "I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." He wants us to have life, but we have to work with Him on that. So when He shows us something, we have to choose. So, and then power. There's in the kingdom of God tremendous power in the saints. Tremendous power in the saints. Those that know Him are the most powerful beings walking around on the face of this earth. Those that know Him. The thing is that a lot of us, what happens though too, is that because they're meek. Meek is not weak. There's a difference. Meek is power under control. So you have that power, but it's also under control. It's under the control of the Spirit of God. So when those that know the Spirit of God and those that walk with God have the power of God in them, but it's also under the control of the Spirit of God that's in them. And so they're not flipping about it. It's there, it's ready, it's to be used as the Spirit of God would have, but they are the most powerful beings walking around on the face of the earth this day. And if God has for them to speak, it literally, it can do anything. It can level a nation. It can level a mountain. It can level, it can make rain come in the desert. It can, whatever. Or it can just speak healing to a heart. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. But the people of God that are in connection with Him are the most powerful beings walking around the face of the earth this day. And they are those that are in connection with the source of power, the source of life. And the thing about position too is in Christ we take up our true position. So we're seated in heavenly places, so we're seated in that dimension of spirit, and out of that dimension of spirit and our link in that dimension of spirit with our true selves, that's out of which we then operate here in the world. And see, that's why too, for us, our position in the world really doesn't matter. Because if you know who you really are in Christ, you can be a janitor, you can be a CEO or a chairman, or you can be middle management, or you can be a traveling surfer, you can be whatever. It doesn't matter, because you know who you really are. And then whatever position you do have in the world is something that you know God wants for you, not something that we take upon ourselves. So for me, I really don't have much ambition in this world. There's a ton of stuff I can do. It really is. I can do just about anything that because God's with me. So tell me something I can't do. If He's there and He says, go do this, all the resources of heaven and earth that belong to Him, He'll put in making that work. So I got no issue there. But I don't need position or validation by the world system. For what? I don't need them. What do they have to offer me that I already don't have? So I don't need anything from them. Okay. So, but anyways, position, power, pleasure, and position, all those outside the will of God only enhance your bondage to the world and the world system. And that's why usually God has to break someone of everything when they come to Christ in order to set them free. So there's a way to enjoy the above, but it comes on His terms and within the safety of His covenant king dominion. His kingdom, His king dominion. So all of those things, there's a way to enjoy for sure, but they're within the bounds of the kingdom of God. So that which is something good, for example, water. The same glass of water can hydrate you in the desert or drown you. It's the same water. You think about it, this, the same glass of water can drown you or breathe life to you. Just depends on which pipe it went down. So likewise with us, the same things within the parameters that God sets will be life to you, versus if it's along the lines of the world and the world system, that which was intended to be life to you is now death. That which was intended to be something good for you now kills. So that's why it's important that we walk life out with Him. That's why it's important that we seek Him in everything. That's why it's important that you hold nothing in your heart stronger than you hold your relationship with the Father. Because if He's God of all and everything to you, then He'll put the other stuff in the right place, in the right perspective. And then you don't have to hold on to anything else, because you now know that He knows. And so if He says no on something, praise God. If He says yes on something, praise God. If He says whatever He says, it's great. Because you know that every word from Him is life to you. Because He's the source of life. So that's the thing. People don't realize God's no is a great thing. Because it really is life to you. I look back on my life and I see how many of His no's. I'm like, thank you, Lord. Now. I mean, things I could have gotten involved with, work I could have gotten involved with, things, relationships, so many different things. Now I realize, back then I didn't understand, because I only saw a small piece of it. But now I'm like, wow, this is Him working, Him keeping me on that path. So, and sometimes it's a good thing, but it's just not for you then. Like, there's a lot of business things I could have gotten involved with, but maybe I wasn't ready for it then. Or maybe you would have been. You see, we just have to trust Him like that. Okay. So, basically, so there's a way to enjoy so much in this life, but it has to come on God's terms and within the safety of His covenant and His kingdom. His king dominion. The dominion of the king. The approval of the king. That's why everything that you do, everything that you say, you bring it before the Father and allow for Him to show you. Alright. Romans 3:23. Wow, time's going so fast. Okay. All right. So, Romans 3:23, very, very well read scripture. Says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Okay. So, everyone on the entire face of the planet that's ever lived outside of Jesus Christ, everyone has sinned and come short of God's glory. So we all fall under that. We've all been some way, shape, or form, we've hit that limitation of imperfection in the gaze of a perfect God, and our need for deliverance and salvation, our need for a Savior. So what... Okay. See, but the thing is, sin, okay, the function of sin is it's the shackles that hold people to the world system. However, sin is not the world system that's at enmity with God. It's a manifestation of it and an outcome from it. The world and the world system is a system of self and a system of the devil. But sin itself is what it is it's a shackle that holds us. So it does a few things. It holds people to the world system. It also is a blocker to their ability to hear from God and also for His life to flow through theirs. So when people have willful, unrepentant sin in their life and they continue down that path, what it does is that it blocks their ability to hear and to receive the flow, the free flow of the Spirit of God in and through them. And then they get stale, and then they get stagnant, and then all this other stuff starts happening with them. But what it does for people in the world is it shackles them and ultimately kills them. Because if you flip forward, Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." So basically, there is a payment that you get for sin as well. There's a wages of sin is death. So you earn death. So when people sin, ultimately what happens is there's a payment that comes along the way. And it kills so many things. So when people sin, it, and whatever area that you sin is an area that something dies. See, that's the thing, is that people don't realize every time somebody sins, something dies. Whether it's a dream, or whether it's a hope, whether it is something physical, whether it's whatever it is, something dies. Maybe your integrity dies. Maybe your... you see what I'm saying? It's like something dies every time. And that's why too... So the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So basically people are killing themselves at a rate. And then there's a gift that God gives, which is life in Christ Jesus. So what happens is, Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." So what happens when people line themselves up with life and with truth, now you have a way out. Now you have a way forward. Now you have the power in you to stop. It's like you don't have to keep going that way. You can make change. You can make change this day. And so, and that's the thing too, is like in the realm of spirit for God's people, He makes all things new. And then what happens is then that changes happen in the realm of spirit, then you have to walk that out in the natural. And in walking that out in the natural, it's that which is in the spirit can be manifest in your, even your physical being. But you have to yield to that. So you can be delivered from addictions. You can be delivered from self-destructive behavior. You can be delivered from whatever it is. The Spirit of God will do that for a person, but they have to persist to go to Him. So God wants to set people free. God's desire is that they, but people choose slavery and bondage in the world. And in fact, in John, let's go to John 3 really quick. And time goes so fast. Okay, John chapter 3 says, okay, you remember John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God." So ultimately, children of light, children of truth, what happens is we come into the light. We seek to stay in the light. We run the race in the light. You mess up, you go back to the light. You know, whatever it is, but you are children of light. That's where you want to be. That's where your peace is. Versus the world is, and the people of the world are children of the darkness. And they hate the light, because as soon as the light comes on, now you see everything that's in the room. And they don't want the light. So they want to crush the light. They want to keep the light out. They want to do everything they can from the light to ever be able to shine and keep everyone else in darkness. So we, though, have been set free by the Spirit of God. So those that have been set free by the Spirit of God, now All you do is walk this thing out each and every day. In Him you live, you move, and you have your being. So, and with that, time gone.